Okay, welcome everybody to this parallel session. My name is Lester Hunt. I'm one of the co-investigators on the Resolve project. We have three talks this afternoon. We'll have each talk and have a few questions afterwards, and then hopefully have a general question and answer session at the end. So the first speaker is Shane, and I'll go to you.
Thank you, Lester. Right, over the next 20 minutes, I'm going to give you an overview of some of the projects I've been involved in during my time as a research fellow on Resolve, looking at the governance and policy implications of the transition to a low-carbon economy. I actually came here on a year's post looking at the governance and policy implications of the UK's shift to a low-carbon economy, but I'm still there after 5 years, and I've ended up looking at all these projects. I'm not going to name them, but suffice to say, these are a few of the projects I've been involved in, and they range from the international, regional level, the national, local government level, and individual level. So what I've attempted to do in this is provide a kind of synthesis on governance and the way I see multi-level governance unfolding. The international level provides the overarching framework for the model of multi-level governance that characterises the UK. But as we will see, the national level continues to exert a dominant influence at all levels, and I'm going to argue a particular sovereign agenda. It bargains at the transnational level and also provides a political framework for sub-level activity and positions the individual within a set of framing influences. Sustainability issues have been implicit in facilitating emerging forms of governance and decision making at the local and community level, and there is now a higher profile for local authorities, for instance, in delivering local carbon at the local level in respect of the UK's aims of an 80% reduction in emissions. And also on the last part, the UK government's more recent emphasis on behaviour change also means that individuals are an intrinsic part of this strategy, where the increased emphasis has been on policies which, as we just heard, encourage more sustainable lifestyles. What I'm going to do is try and synthesise this into looking at all these different levels and how they might interlink and what the barriers are. So, the search for more sustainable forms of production and consumption has been one of the main drivers, I would say, in a different form of governance which has emerged primarily, I would say, over the last two decades. And away from a previous top-down approach to governance and policy-making. The complexities of sustainable development in particular mean that effective governance must involve the incorporation, coordination and active involvement of different stakeholders and different levels of governance in the policy process. And what I can argue is that current institutional structures across these different levels promote different levels of agency, efficacy and motivation across different levels of policy making. And one of the main problems we're finding is that there's difficulties in reconciling the more influential short-term political solutions with long-term problems, of which the environment is obviously one. So I'll try to clarify this for you through this model. If you look at the triangle and global governance at the widest end of the triangle and sustainable development as an idealistic end point, the levels of governance at the side there, these are all involved in the low carbon transition, and the difficulties for governments is to try and coordinate those all towards this sustainable end point. And it's governing the sustainability at multiple levels. So, governance at the global level comes primarily from the transnational level, where the global reach of the IPCC informs the scientific basis of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. This response is then developed at the national level, as the UK climate change would be a principal example of this, partially in response to transnational science. And this agenda then feeds down to the local government, community and individual levels. As you can see though, the UNFCC has been, although it's been successful in bringing together national governments at a global level, it has patently not delivered an effective global climate change deal, as earlier we mentioned at Copenhagen. And currently no real specification what a global low carbon future will look like in line with the IPCC science. And in fact, the actual lifespan of the UNFCCC has seen a 40% rise in global carbon emissions. So after two decades of trying to negotiate at a global level, it's actually increased by 40%. Also, sustainability has made visible the complex interactions which take place between global actors, as I just argued, structures and contexts, primarily nation states and the different power differentials that exist at a national level. And so what I'd argue is the historical process of negotiating the UNFCCC process suggests that it's been a compromise so far. So there's a reasonable argument to suggest that this failure begins at the national level. The influence of the national level agendas feed back up into the global level, as Copenhagen so dramatically illustrated. National governments dictate the pace of global agreement, and it could be reasonably argued that the real heart and agenda around sustainability governance can be found here. In the UK, for instance, Mitchell has argued that the regulatory state paradigm, which is characterised by a narrow short-term consolidation, is unlikely to deliver on the technical, industrial, institutional and human innovations that are required for the sustainability challenges that lay ahead, and certainly at the rate of change that is patently needed. So at national level, you've seen an unconvincing, I would argue, search for a third-way synthesis between market and government-led regulation. Not sure which form to follow, so they're trying to find a pragmatic approach which will find the best solutions. The primacy of economic growth and decision making still is a priority for national government, and you've got the problem here of carbon lock-in, where the decoupling has still not happened and the greater technological change is needed. And in the regulatory state paradigm, it's primarily short-term political horizons that are the priority. And I would argue there are very few innovative ideas on future directions at the moment. So, as I've argued, sustainability is a complex issue and can only be addressed at multiple levels. So, the UK government has now raised, more recently, the profile of local authorities and communities in trying to reach the more stringent targets which have been put in place. 80% reduction by 2050. For instance, in the new localism agenda, there's been an effort to mobilise a multi-level approach to sustainability, but there seems to be an incoherence about this role actually entail. So whilst there has been the introduction of a feed-in tariff, a renewable heat incentive, changes in planning and other policies designed specifically to encourage grassroots innovation and behaviour change, the local level, I would argue, still remains relatively weak in terms of political and policy influence. You saw under the Labour government there was an expansion of what I call the regulatory state paradigm, where there was the development of specialist agencies and departments to try and deal with sustainability and energy security issues, for instance, Ofgem, DEFRA, Sustainable Development Commission, and this has been cut back. Under the coalition government, they've also reduced funding to local authorities, so you're kind of seeing where the priorities lay in an economic recession. And at the moment, there seems to be a lack of clarity and confusion as to where responsibilities lie around this joined-up government and trying to push this government to the local level. So, as we've just heard in the earlier talk, there's been a recognition in policy in more recent years, in the last decade arguably, that sustainability can only be achieved by involving individuals and by encouraging active citizenship. The UK government have recognised, for instance, that household energy use, waste, transport, excessive consumerism are related to habits and place-based activities. So you can't do this for a top-down approach. You have to involve the different levels. And also that demand can be influenced to change supply and production. So kind of awareness that there's only so far you can go in eliciting structural change. So what does this actually mean? I would argue that there is certainly a current weakness on policies on sustainability across all levels of governance. We haven't seen anything with a cutting edge that's actually going to reduce emissions and encourage sustainability at the level that is needed, certainly in line with the science that is emerging at the global level. I would also argue that there's been a dominance of national government at all levels of the debate, and kind of, again, this regulatory state paradigm that Mitchell identifies, that is kind of more concerned with consolidating rather than moving forward and maybe searching out for new ways to find ideas in which to achieve these aims. And linked into this, difficulties or an unwillingness to implement change at a structural level. I would say there is definitely a need for structural change across all these levels, particularly related to business ideas, and particularly the influence of market interest, bureaucratic inertia, and what we call an ideological myopia about how to do sustainability. It's been assumed that markets will actually achieve all these aims without actually thinking through how this is going to be done. And there's also currently a weak devolution of power to the local level. So, as I've just argued, while the government are trying to encourage more local level responses to climate change and sustainability issues, there's a current unwillingness to devolve certainly funding. Funding's being cut back at the local level. And at the moment, it's only a few forward-seeing local authorities and instance some community initiatives that are actually grabbing the initiative and taking the lead. I would argue that there needs to be much more argument around the structures that kind of keep local levels from actually becoming more prominent in this process. And the role of the individual in this, I would say there's an argument that behaviour change is being used as an ideologically convenient response to the difficulties of governing sustainability. Simply putting the onus on the individual in a vacuum without looking at structures and influential things around media and whatever, it's not going to really have much effect, because you're only going to influence a certain amount of people in this process. So what I'm recommending is that at each of these levels of governance, we maybe need more transparency, greater accountability, more democracy. I've got accountability twice. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, time for three or four questions before we move on to the next speaker.
I actually missed the slide 8, so if you want to kind of...
Okay, maybe I saw that hand first and your hand second, so I'll take one.
Thanks. Matthew Brown from Tetra. So, if you convince me that it's broken, which maybe you have, how do we fix it?
That's a huge question. I think primarily I've identified some of the barriers that need to be changed. As in how you do that, that's quite top-level stuff, really. From what perspective are you talking? Can you be more specific on what you're saying?
Sure.
On what you think, maybe at what level or...
So, I think I took from your presentation, you think the problem lies primarily with the way national government's operating. You've identified a few different issues, like not enough devolution of local power. Do you have any thoughts about how to get those messages into government?
I think...
Or small change governments could make an incremental way to move to that situation.
Yeah, one of the things, actually on this slide that I missed out, for instance, the individual level, people are aware of the discrepancies and contradictions over sustainability measures that are coming from government. The government are asking people to change their behaviours while they build new runways and new transport routes. So there's a kind of contradiction. One of the things we looked at in the focus groups on one of these projects, which was a Framework 7 project looking at barriers to energy changes amongst end consumers and individuals, we did a series of focus groups asking people about sustainability measures of household energy use. And at the end, we were kind of looking at wider issues. And there was this real... People are aware, governments are trying to resonate with people on an information level, and everyone knows about climate change. Maybe 10 years ago that wouldn't have been the case. But whether that equates to action is a totally different thing. So people are aware of, they don't trust, they think governments should bring the changes, but they don't trust them to do it. They don't trust businesses because they think they're in it for profit. So there's all these kind of things that maybe the government could provide better clarity on and a better focus that would possibly lead this in along this towards a more, you know, a joined up sustainable governance when everyone's not going in different directions. And some people hold more power to do that, and central government, I would say, have, obviously in alignment with the business, because that's quite a close relationship, I think.
Thank you.
Actually, my name's Amanda Rita. My question was a variant on that, really, which was, it seems to me that what's happening is all the discourses around citizenship and things are being moved into sort of more market-based models, and therefore, do you think there's a problem with trying to introduce issues about sustainability which don't necessarily fit into that sort of paradigm?
Absolutely, because over the last 30 years, we've had a model of citizenship that's been promoted by the Conservative government, around consumer citizenship and the right to buy in a market. And for me, the political citizen aspect of that has been left behind. And it's almost like after the horse is bolted, they're trying to kind of reintroduce this into a generation that's already been introduced into rights and responsibilities within a market framework. So thinking of wider issues for many people is a very difficult issue, really. And just providing information is not sufficient for me. It needs to be much more robust, and maybe, you know, the dominant agencies in this leading more by example. I mean, one of the things that one of the focus groups we did, I think it was just after Copenhagen, they were on about all the governments, national governments, flying out to this conference, and they're saying, well, why should we change if they're doing that? So it's kind of, I will if you will. It does.
Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, well, we'll leave it there. And while we swap speakers, let's thank Shane again. Thank you very much.